And our scripture is also from Romans, over in chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I bid every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned to him. For as in one body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, in his liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. He who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope and be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not, I got it. Thank you, friends. Do not be haughty, but be associate, with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, avenge yourselves, but leave it, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but be overcome with good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Back at Stony Creek, there were four musketeers. It was Mark Rodin, myself, Al Fillion, and Peter. I don't remember who said it first. I believe it was Al who said, we have a flawed understanding of what love is. We think that God loves when in fact God is love. Last week when I was with Peter, he said much the same thing. He says, I can hardly wait to experience true love face to face. What we have in this world is a fallen world, and one of the things that it causes to happen is misunderstandings. I have been on a tirade lately talking about that words mean things, and we don't fully understand what the words are that we're using or how they should actually be used. So if you open your bulletin to the very middle, you will find the 9 ancient Greek words for love. What happens quite often in our world is we pick one part and we obsess about it, or we substitute one part for another and it falls apart because that's not the way it was supposed to be. We get the first one out of the way. Mania is an obsessive love, an overwhelming obsessive desire for love for and from another person. This kind of love, you can't stand to be out of their presence. You can't stand for them to be anywhere else. And it is not a redeemable or practiced portion of love. I move quickly to the second one. Philosia is the love of self. Now, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You can become so self-focused that you are not capable of giving love to another person. Or you can have such a low self-esteem that you don't think you're worthy of love from another person. It is something that is essential to moving forward. One of the things that I get to do as part of my pastoral ministry is I talk to people in premarital counseling and postmarital counseling and during marital counseling. And one of the things that we find time and time again is that people don't want to address this. What they will do is they will believe that if they can get some of these other loves in their lives, it will fix them. And they don't need to take care of themselves and sort out their own problems and deal with their own baggage, that if I just get some of these other loves, everything will be okay. And they wonder why relationship after relationship after relationship fails. And they said, there must be something wrong with all those people. But you know the common denominator in all those relationships? Them. They never bothered to fix themselves to be a partner in a relationship. Ludus. I will make a disqualifier here. I am still pretty good at reading Greek and understanding the conceptualization of Greek. Pronunciation was never my strong suit, and after 28 years, it's probably not as good as it used to be. So, Dr. Mickey Eifert, I'm sorry. My Greek skills have slipped, but I haven't totally given them up. So, ludus may not be the perfect pronunciation, but this is what many people equate with love in our world today. Butterflies you get in your stomach. Being present. Keeping this alive as love is difficult. It can be done. You can dance, you can sing, you be silly with each other. You can do things to rekindle it, but something that will need to be rekindled again and again and again and again, it doesn't stay alive. It doesn't sustain a relationship. It isn't the purpose or the focus. It's a spark that's part of the bigger package. Eros is the next one. And this is one that I think has a bad reputation and it gives the church a bad reputation. But it is a love connected to passion. It's a physicality, an emotional attraction and attachment. Again, it can come and go just like Ludus, but it is good. One of the things that I find interesting is people say that the church doesn't like Eros, it doesn't think it belongs, that it is somehow taboo. If you ever really want to understand what the church's understanding of this actually is, look back in the early church history, and one of the complaints that is often brought is that they are not doing their spousal duty. And the church says, are you a Christian or not? Go do what you promised to do. And this was an understanding that it was an essential part of the relationship. It wasn't a hobby. It wasn't a pastime. It wasn't something that you did when the spirit or the urge moved you. It was something that was essential to the relationship. Dr. John Ricardo said the interesting thing today is that we think the church is prudish because they don't want to see nudity. He says, but if you actually look at nudity, you know what they do now? They just move the fig leaf over the person's face. And you'll see the person's body and their face will be cut off or fogged out in a way. It's not that it shows too much, it shows too little. You don't capture the essence of who the person is. You have objectified them. And that's the problem with Eros, is Eros can become something that is set apart from the relationship rather than integral to it. Meraki is something you feel when you create something together. It can be something simple like singing together or cooking or something like that. It can be more integral as you build a house together, as you decorate the baby's nursery, as you do something that the two of you create together, and it becomes something that unifies you. Because it takes the essence of both of you and it combines it together and it makes something new. It can also rekindle and re-inspire some of the other loves. Philia or filio is a love that talks about loyalty to one another, making sacrifices, sharing emotions. It's the type of love you get from your friends and your partner and best friends as well. It is a companionship and a loyalty to friends or family or community. It is seen to be a higher love than Eros because Eros focuses on the individual, while philia focuses on the relationship between the two. Storge is a love that comes from natural affection, obligation that you feel to family, something that you have gone through together. It is interesting, but if you talk about it enough and you look at it cleverly, you can find out that you can have a storge love for non-humans. A man can literally love his truck, because the truck and he have been through a lot of things together. You can love your dog because your dog has been with you and seen you through things together. Storge is built over time and is a shared experience, even overcoming adversity. One of the things that makes relationships strong is working through adversity, and one of the things that Dr. Gary Smalley discovered is he found that families that camped together had bonds that other couples simply didn't have. They were closer. They had better communication. It just seemed to baffle him. And it wasn't until he heard the stories about camping that he began to understand. Do you remember that horrible rainstorm in Wilmore, Kentucky? Do you remember when the river flooded? Do you remember when we forgot the sleeping bags? And it was the overcoming of shared adversity that drew them together and gave them a relationship that stood the test of time. Come then to agape, or agape, depending on which Greek scholar you want to decide is right. This is an unconditional love. It's a very gentle and caring form of love. It is based around the essence of the person being loved and not based on their worth, their merit, or what they've done. Not something that they have earned, but something you give anyway. This is where we get the idea that love is a decision, not a feeling. And this is where Romans speaks of outdo one another in showing honor. As you outdo one another in showing honor, you build a deeper and deeper relationship. One of the things that counseling magazines tells us is the essence of a good relationship is there are times when both partners don't think that they're worthy and that they're the ones that are the lucky ones. It has happened several times, even in the past year with Juliana and I, and I find it interesting because she could do a lot of things for me and show me in a lot of ways, but when she says that she's the one who's lucky, I realize how lucky I really am. And it takes us toward pragma. Pragma is a long-standing love. It's usually associated with long-established couples, but particularly with God. Because as close as the relationship between Julian and I is, my relationship with God started before that. And will go on after that. And it is a smattering of all these. A storge, an agape, a philia, a mareke. It just builds and builds and builds. And I think what has happened is the world out there doesn't understand what love is. They have a flippant, simplified understanding of what love is. They say, oh yeah, that feeling in your stomach when you look into their eyes. That feeling when you see the most beautiful woman you've ever seen and your heart jumps. And my friends, that's not it at all. You see, the thing about love is it's deeper and it's far more profound than that. It is this understanding that it is our purpose and destiny. Love isn't something that gets us through life. Love is the purpose of life. And the world out there doesn't get it or understand. They want to simplify it, make it easy. They want to market it. They want to hype it. But my friends, the truth is it's a process and it builds. It's not something that you can grab a hold of and then keep. Even if you love the butterflies in your stomach, it's something that has to be nurtured and brought back. If you want the eros, if you want the mareki, if you want all of these things, they take effort, they take time, they take understanding. They have to be prioritized in your life. When Jesus came, he didn't conduct quizzes. He didn't say, how well do you know the law? How well do you keep the law? What is your score today? He turned to the one that would take over the church from him, and he says, but Peter, do you love me? And because Peter had denied him three times, he has Peter repeat to him three times, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, then go and feed my sheep. He didn't mean feed my sheep with grain because otherwise they'll starve. He said, feed my sheep with love because that's why I made them. See, my problem on a day like this is I look out at the world and I don't see this. I see people saying that the church is screwed up, that the church doesn't know how to love, that church is hung up on sex, that the church is hung up on rules, when that's not what God created at all. See, I look out at a world that's obsessed with rules, and obsessed with sex and money and power. And they're trying to fill themselves with those things instead of these things. It's never going to work. We were made for love. And anything we try to substitute for it will fall short. So on this Transfiguration Sunday, on this Valentine's Day, help us to understand who we are and what we were made for. And make the decision to love 8 different ways rather than just one off a list that the world seems to offer. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we pray for those who misunderstand the message of the church. Who fear judgment. And testing. Rather than love and encouragement. To grow into what Christ created you to be. Help us not to grow weary in telling people that love is more than that. And that because of the love we've been given through Jesus Christ, we offer them love in a way that they may have never understood until they came to you. And all God's people said,